This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Arkansas State University's Fowler Center will present Todd Mosby's New Horizons Ensemble as part of the Riceland Distinguished Presentation Series, Friday, April 5th at 7:30. Todd Mosby's New Horizons Ensemble is a six-member acoustic, instrumental, folk, and jazz ensemble that has toured across the United States. KASU's Marty Scarborough discusses the concert with Todd Mosby in this interview.
Describe the style of music that you compose and perform.
Matt, this music is kind of centered around a lifetime of being involved at the first level of music, meaning my history goes back from early bluegrass to early jazz, you know, Billie Holiday kind of thing, to traditional jazz, bebop, classical North Indian music, to American folk, James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, to, you know, some of my favorite classical music, which is Debussy and Takemitsu. So everything at this point in my life is pretty much a blend of that. So I guess you could call it world, jazz, new age, fusion, folk, bluegrass music. But it all comes out as a perfectly blended kind of sound.
Well, you mentioned quite a few names there and quite a few musical influences. Are those influences more on your performance style or on your compositional style?
I would say that these are influences that have been integrated at a very deep level because of firsthand experience. I mean, meaning being involved intimately with music, whether through performance, study, or composition as well. Yeah, I studied at Berklee College of Music, so therefore my really deep entry into jazz entered there. I got a master's in music with a degree in composition, so therefore my entry into the classical world kind of started there.
Well, was a guitar the first instrument you played as a child?
I was torn between guitar and piano, so, but I would say yes, the first instrument was guitar. I saw the Beatles, as so many people, back in the day, and in the 60s, that was like the instrument of choice. When I was about 13, I started getting an interest in trumpet, so I started taking that up. And had I heard Miles Davis back then, I probably would still be playing trumpet. But my brother wouldn't let me jam with him because he played acoustic guitar and trumpet was a little loud. So I went back to guitar and never looked back. So I would say guitar was a very early influence. And then, but I was torn later on between piano because I loved Bill Evans and I loved the sound of piano, what you could do. But ultimately what it boiled down to was, even though guitar was immensely difficult, just as piano was, I thought, well, with guitar, at least I can carry it on my back. I don't have to go to different, because every time you enter a room with a piano, it's a different piano. It's not your instrument. So I kind of did it like that.
You mentioned the names of two jazz greats there, Bill Evans and Miles Davis. How have you found their influences as pianists and trumpeters influencing what you're doing on the guitar?
Well, with Miles, it's his melody and development of melody on not only a compositional scale, but on an improvisational scale. I would say about mid-career, he found, his voice. I mean, he had a voice very early on when he was with Charlie Parker and company. But by, the birth of the Cool, he had really kind of honed his sound in and kind of unlocked that key. And found that with Bill Evans, what happened, he's like not only melodically, but I mean harmonically, the way he harmonizes melody and his harmonic concept is just, out the roof. It's a lot like Debussy, but just, it's improvisational. And I consider myself an improviser and a composer. That's how Bill Evans really influenced me.
Now, you don't always play a typical six-string guitar. Describe the type of guitars and instruments that you use in your recordings and your performances.
Well, basic. I went back to acoustic guitar, six-string, because the electronics got so good, you know, like the pickup systems, especially with the LR bags systems, they became so good they were able to actually reproduce the guitar. You didn't have a microphone sitting there, which is very cumbersome. And you could run ambient effects through it as well, or just process effects, you know, like reverb, delay, just like you could with electric guitar. So that was, but I started on acoustic guitar. I love the richness of that. But until that time, I started in a punk rock band as soon as I got out of Berkeley and kind of went up the scale from there. I just kind of had to heave everything aside and get really down to raw energy music and motive music. And then I began to reassemble what I had learned and go dive very deeply into improvisation and jazz. And was a long search to find a guitar, you know, a jazz box that I could really, you know, dig into. Actually, I finally found it. Going through many electric guitar versions, semi-hollow bodies, I finally found one. I'm playing a Gibson right now, ES 275. It's a beautiful instrument, very versatile. And then the third instrument I have is one that I had to design. And I did that with a design team of myself, Imrat Khan, and Kim Schwartz, who's a luthier in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And that was a hybrid design. I have an acoustic version, an electric version, but essentially it's a hybrid design of guitar and sitar. So I could bridge the cultural gap between Indian music improvisation and jazz, traditional jazz improvisation. Because really to cross that field, I mean, I could do it on guitar, but I was missing the sympathetics, which is a whole other world of that music. So I had to get, basically I commissioned it to get made. And then I've had gone through numerous reiterations of that. My current reiteration is this beautiful archtop instrument, which is featured on my recordings a lot. But I play my electric one live all the time.
So you've created this instrument that accommodates playing two very different styles of music, from the European tradition and from the Indian tradition. What goes on in your mind as you're trying to figure out how do I incorporate those two different musical traditions together into playing on this one single instrument?
Good question. Actually, because of my studies with Imrat Khan, he like taught George Harrison, and he has a whole lineage that goes back hundreds of years, but his family's been integral to the development of sitar from its beginning. So guitar actually is a combination of oud and sitar. Sitar is a combination of oud and veena. It happened in early Persia. And, without going into the history of it, essentially, this reiteration of guitar is the perfect combination of sitar and guitar. So, I mean, it's a very advanced instrument. It's you can consider it a harp instrument, although the harp strings do not go down in pitch, they go up. So you get the higher partials and frequencies and a natural harmony that exists, that doesn't exist anywhere else. Also, key to the design is, you know, the ability to pull strings. Not just like a blues player, but like a sitar player, which is like, you know, you're pulling fourths and fifths sometimes, rather than minor seconds and minor thirds. So stylistically, it's set up to pull, and it's also set up to play chords. Indian music does not have chordal harmony as we know it, and Western music does not have the intricacy of melodic development that the Eastern people have. What that means is, in the West, we took harmony to the highest level, you know, from Bach onwards, you know. In the East, they took melody to the highest level. So you have these two mountains of music, and that developed separately. But there was a point in European history, you know, music history, like about the 10th century. If you go back and research the music of that time, is very closely related, you know, to Indian music. They were, you know, it kind of came out of the Gregorian, if you listen to Gregorian chants or medieval music from the 10th century, I mean, it sounds, the similarities are so apparent. It's ridiculous. But then when the branch happened, basically with Bach, with harmony, it was a natural development. Things kind of shifted a little bit. So this instrument is a way to bridge back together those two fields, and what it requires is a new set of compositions. So I've written new music for the instrument as well.
Well, talking about writing new music, tell us about the process you use to compose music. What inspires you to write, and then how do you go about it?
Gosh, you know, ideally to have a quiet room where you could just go and just like be by yourself would be great. But what happens, because my time is so limited, I usually will come up with an idea just through practicing. I rarely just, unless I'm writing a composition, like orchestrating something for symphony, that process is a little different. I'll sit down and actually, you know, I'll work music on a, it used to be a page, but now it's, you know, computer screen, and it's like painting on a canvas. Whereas if I'm working music where it's more improvisational, that's more like having, you know, clay in your hand, so you're molding, you know, a song or an idea like that. And ultimately what happens is, you know, I write very rapidly. I'll just get an idea for, you know, something will come to me. I'll have a chord progression or a melody. And a lot of times it's on my Indian instruments these days. But I'll record it. And then I'll start playing over it and start improvising. I'm going, oh, this is fun, you know, let's see what we can do here. And then, you know, ultimately they become, you know, melodies and harmonies that are interesting to me at that moment. I would say improvisationally, I used to use a lot of like very like giant step chord changes, you know, shifting harmonies, you know, in very odd kind of ways. But now I found with my experience in Indian music that I'm writing more tonal than anything. So very rarely do you find music that's, you know, in the West that's, or America, that's tonal all the way through. And I find that to be the most difficult kind of music to perform on and write, because the any kind of mistake is so apparent, as opposed to music, which I consider atonal music, you know, that's shifting all the time, harmonies. I don't know if that's getting too deep or not. But
No, those are great observations there. Describe for us a little bit more in detail about what one of your live performances with the New Horizon Ensemble is like, and tell us about the musicians who will be accompanying you to the performance here in Jonesboro.
Okay. Well, this is, it's just an exciting concert. It's very old school. We start off, you know, from beginning to end. I take each song and just wrap it in kind of its own package. So, you know, each song becomes its own moment. And, you know, we have great audience interaction. We include the audience, you know, in, you know, audience participation songs. So, We take it through a high arc, you know, from just an introductory moment to, you know, we've got radio hit type tunes, you know, we package that, and then we've got like real pin drop kind of ballads. We've got like total audience interaction, high energy, and we've got, you know, awesome closers. It's just, so I take the listener, the audience through a really well-calculated arc that, you know, when they first enter the door and hear it to the end, by the time we're through the concert, they're changed at some level. I mean, I've had people come up afterwards and go, you know, oh, I was working on this problem at work, you know, and then, you know, I came here, I thought, oh, I'll go listen to Todd because, you know, he always puts me in a good space. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, I finished that, you know, I solved the problem. You know, just, you know, things like that. People just get transformed at many levels. And that's the goal, because it's very engaging.
It certainly sounds like it's something that people wouldn't have an opportunity to hear often, if ever. You're doing something very unique, and certainly we encourage them to come and experience the New Horizons Ensemble with you, Todd, when they come here to play at Arkansas State.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm the only guy on the planet that has one of these Indian guitars, and I'm writing for it. So that in and of itself is an experience. Some of the performers that are with us is Michael Manring. He's basically taken bass. He's responsible for all the solo bass players out there today, but he's taken that instrument and just totally put it on the map. He's been a major innovator in bass since the mid-80s. His teacher was Jaco Pastorius. He's probably, Bass Player Magazine voted him, Bass Player of the Year 2 times in a row. He's like a Berklee College of Music honored, gold member alumni. So he's just amazing. He plays fretless bass, and he does a lot. Let him cut loose a lot in the performance. Just to hear this man is something else. You'll never hear bass like this. The vocalist, Lola Henneke, she's a session musician right now in Los Angeles. She moved there a few years ago, and she's coming up through the ranks there. She's about 28 years old, and I met her when I was in school in St. Louis, finishing my master's in music composition, and she was there at the time, and I hooked up with her, and oh my God, what a talent. So she's an amazing singer-songwriter in her own right, and she's just now cracking the L.A. scene and starting to make a really beautiful headway there. The drummer I have that I'll be bringing with me is the only drummer I know that actually studied tabla. He actually studied with my teacher. So we have a very long history together, and he's probably one of the most tasty drummers I've ever played with in my life. He's in New York right now, and I met him in school when I was taking my master's, and he's like, about 25 now, I would say. And just amazing. And he adds a lot of color. And then the other person is Brian Tobin, a singer-songwriter. Amazing set of vocals, an amazing songwriter in his own right. And he does the second guitar parts for me as well.
Well, Todd, it sounds like you've got a very unique ensemble and a unique musical style and sound. And we look forward to the concert and certainly hope that you enjoy the time you spend with us here at Arkansas State University.
Oh, yeah, we're looking forward to it. We've done a couple of performances throughout the state of Arkansas now, and wow, what a beautiful state. I always love going there, and really look forward to an amazing concert, Ryson Hall. It's just absolutely beautiful. We'd love to play for anybody that wants to come out. We will take you on a fun ride.
And that's Todd Mosby talking to KASU's Program Director Marty Scarborough about the upcoming ensemble concert that features New Horizons Ensemble as part of the Ryson Distinguished Presentation Series, Friday, April the 5th at 7:30, and that'll be at Arkansas State University's Fowler Center in Ryson Hall. And as part of that presentation series, it'll be taking place on April 5th. For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves.